And they're off. Can't stop raving about the big Bronco pack. Now, I know that we have a long-standing relationship with Ultra Spire. You're not going to find two bigger Ultra Spire fans than Eugene and I. I bought the Ultra Spire big Bronco. I wasn't sent it, and I'm not being paid to kind of rave about it. It is one of the best packs I've ever worn. Check it out. 14-liter race pack. Carry all your stuff. Light fits really well to the body. Hit ultraspire.nz for more information. Designed by Jeff Bronco Billy Browning. So good, so good.
I'll tell you what else is good, Matt. Well, you know, because you've been on the Currens buzz for ages, but Currens, they make us feel gooder. We pop the little purple pills each morning of a morning. If you want to find out about it, head along to Currens, which is currranz.co.nz. Read up on the science and then use the code Dirt Church to get 20% off your first order off Currens 30s. Do it.
Another thing you should do, head further faster, the best independently owned outdoors store in the known universe. You know we love them. Such amazing gear. I'm on the site all the time, just looking at stuff that I don't need, but stuff that, you know, I don't need a pack raft. Do I want a pack raft? Yes, I do. Would I use a pack raft? Maybe not, but at least I'd have a pack raft. If that's your thing, or any other type of niche outdoors amazingness, furtherfaster.co.nz, or head over to 57A Buchan Street, Sydenham, Otutahi, Christchurch. Just play the jingle, I guess.
Something like further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jack is delicious. Go to further, faster now.
Oh, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jack is delicious. Go to further, faster now.
Dirt Church Radio.
Episode 268 of Dirt Church Radio. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I am Eugene Bingham. Tēnā koutou katoa.
Tēnā koutou, we made it.
We did make it.
Oh, I flipped the script.
You did. We entered a parallel universe. Does that mean we didn't make it? Because I didn't say it? Oh, my goodness. Back
you
to the
can
beginning.
Say it now.
We made it. How have you been, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm tired. I'm good, tired. Life carries on. It's quietly still having a little bit of... early wake-ups about relapse and questioning my life choices. But, you know, went out on the course yesterday with Repicker and had a trot around. And it's by far the best course that Sean Collins has ever put together. Yeah.
Really? In what way?
It's really runnable.
Yeah.
And it's proper old cross-country trail running. So, yeah, fantastic. The trails are looking beautiful. They're dry, they're fast, they're flowy. I mean, who knows in a couple of weeks what that will be like with, you know, autumn conditions in Riverhead. But my goodness me, it's going to be a goodie. And there's 180 plus people signed up. So
wow.
It's going to be a conga line for
it
the
is.
Initial.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone has missed it, in our it was in the Aid Station show and then we put it out on the socials as well. But Matt has gone and for a birthday present, which, by the way, it was his birthday on Saturday, so hari hari to, hari to, hoodie to, far out, hari hoodie to, there we go. You're on a journey, and you just got to keep going.
Yeah.
Got a few of people. Anyway, yeah, he got signed up. Yes. Got himself signed up.
Yes. Yep. I didn't do the signing up. I was signed up. So,
yeah.
Yeah, stoked. And thinking about, and I was thinking the last two ultramarathons I've done have been running around in circles. Mm. So at least I'm psychologically prepared for that. All the other stuff, no, but I am excited. So
I'm looking forward to after, you know, quite a few laps saying to you, how's it going? You go, yeah, it's nice and fast, flowy.
Yeah, no, it won't be. It's good. It's going to be. No, like, it's that's the other thing too. Because it's fast and flowy, yeah. Anyone out there just, Cool your jets.
Yeah.
Cool your jets. How about you, bro? How are you?
Yeah, well, this is as exciting as it got for me. I was the park run park walker yesterday.
Nice.
So I'm doing, yeah, I mean, I'm getting along, still getting along to park run and doing my, yeah, sort of chucking in a few volunteer duties as well, which is, it's good, but it's actually been really fascinating walking park run and seeing people, you know, because obviously I'm only just starting out the walk when some people are coming on their way back. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Devin Beckman, your flying machine. Yeah, people were absolutely motoring, and you just, you kind of don't, you know, when you're running yourself, you're not really kind of watching closely how other people run and the effort that it takes some people, but then the effortlessness that it takes other people, just so smooth and beautiful to watch running at ridiculous speeds. So I've actually quite enjoyed it. I mean, I don't want to do it forever,
no.
But it's been quite fun. I think I have another couple of weeks of doing that. I went to sports doctor, Dr. Ben Speedy, on last week, and I've been referred for an MRI on my Achilles. So yeah, we'll wait and see what happens, but hopefully I can get back to some running soon. I hope so. I hope so. But in the meantime, it's been quite a hecker's time for us in each of our work lives, hasn't it? I got interviewed by Media Watch the other day about the catastrophic goings on in the media industry, and had someone tag me. Sorry, I've just forgotten for now, but someone tagged me on Twitter saying, "Hey, I only know this guy from Dirt Church Radio fame." I didn't realise he's... I was like, yeah, I have another life. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean,
what's this guy from Dirt Church Radio talking about crisis within the media? Yeah. Anyway, it's quite weird. Two worlds collide, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And look, you know, I was saying off air, my heart goes out to you and your friends.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's a hard time, and I think we're just sort of beholden for us to take care of each other because it's...
Well, there's a lot of people going through pain at the moment, aren't there? Mm. In all sorts of industries. So, you know, if you are, kia kaha. It, you know, yeah, I've said to Matt that we're holding a lot of people's hands at the moment, aren't we?
Yes. Mm. Absolutely we are. Mm. And you know, this is it's always on a continuum, isn't it? And
yeah.
I guess when we count our blessings, we count them twice, and proof kind of positive of this was for those of you who didn't hear, we had Kerry Suter on our DCR Aid Station podcast on Wednesday to talk about the surgery that he'd had and his views on Tararua Ultra Trail, and he shared some pretty interesting thoughts. We also chucked it into the DCR feed on the weekend, so hopefully you've come across it one way or another. And don't forget that if you want to hear our new podcast, the DCR Aid Station, sign up for it, and it's available to paid subscribers every fortnight, and we will, as always, put a link in the show notes. But it was amazing to talk to Kerry and just his sort of that, not from a there thing, but to look at him, even, you know, the kind of, when you reflect on what some people have got going on for them, makes things feel remarkably joyous and easy, I guess.
Yeah, and even Kerry does that himself, doesn't he? He's like, hey, look, it could be worse, you know.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, we frame our view of the world in many different ways, don't we? This week, we got a message from our mate Ellie Pottinger, fellow coach at Squad Run with Kerry, asking if it was time for us to catch up about what's happening for women in trail running, particularly in this part of the world, in Aotearoa and Australia. And our immediate answer was, hell yes. So we caught up with Ellie to have a discussion about what's going well, what's not, and it was a fascinating conversation, right?
Yeah, it was a fascinating conversation, and you know, we very much were there to listen and to facilitate the conversation, because you know, Ellie was like, I've got these, you know, this is what I think we should do, and it was really, really cool. But yeah, a very well needed and fascinating and vital conversation, and one also hopeful as well. So you know, really looking forward to bringing that to you soon. On Friday, last Friday, it was International Women's Day, and ITRA, which is the International Trail Running Association, put out some ideas for male runners, which seemed pretty cool. Look, we're not going to go through them here because we don't want to be like two dudes talking about what are, you know, ways to make women feel more comfortable on the trail. And it is they're pretty cool. It appears obvious. It should be obvious. And unfortunately, I guess if people are putting it out there, it's not obvious. And it's a drop in the ocean, but it's a start. So head to ITRA's website, check it out. And also we will put a link in the show notes.
Greatest run ever,
which is the part of the show where we ask you to write into us and tell us your greatest run ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit. It might just be a run around the block, something that sunk you for some reason. Send them in to us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Wow, returning champion. We didn't think it was possible. Eve Southern, one of my favorite ever greatest runs ever. She's done it again. And we'll just let this speak for itself. Well, I seem to have had another animal-related greatest run ever. Who knew I could have another run that involves an animal rescue? Here's an updated story for your consideration. Now, back in 2021, Eve had her first GRE when she refloated a dolphin while out for a run. Now, Eve writes that she thought that it was the end of her animal rescue days, but she was wrong. A few weeks ago, a group of running friends and I headed up the Skyline Trail in Wellington from the Old Coach Road end. It was a beautiful welly day, and we were enjoying the view and undulating trails as we headed towards Karori. As usual, the conversation was flowing and the Ks were passing quickly when all of a sudden I hear one of our crew yell out, "Kitten!" We stopped in our tracks, and sure enough, there was a tiny, fluffy kitten on the side of the trail. The poor wee thing had quite a nasty head wound, so we quickly wrapped him up in a spare merino top, which is another reason to carry emergency gear. He was very wriggly, but soon settled into the top as we stood around trying to figure out what we were going to do next. We were very close to a turn off at Otari Wilton's bush, but also very far away from our cars. So we called some friends we knew that we're heading out for a cocoa mission and managed to catch them before they started so they could swing by and collect the kitten. We still had a couple of Ks to navigate to get to the meeting point, so our kitten was about to experience his first trail running adventure. Mooney carried him out in front of him, which is pretty tricky to do on the trails, and we headed down the fastest route to meet up with our friends at the car for the kitten transfer. From there, we carried on with our run back up onto Skyline, and the little bundle of fluffers taken to the wonderful Animal Medical Center for assessment and care. The rest of our run was full of kitten chat as we came up with possible names, and I'm pretty sure we ran through all the possibilities of keeping him. As we went back to the spot we found him, we had a look around for more kittens, but we couldn't see any others. The kitten is doing really well, estimated about 4 weeks old, and it looks like although he won't have full vision in his damaged eye, he gets to keep it. He's found a new home with the vet's family. I hear that is considered a foster fail when it's no longer a foster, but I think it's a success. The other good thing about getting a kitten off the Skyline is the protection of wildlife in the area. There have been kiwi released not far away, and Otari Wilson's bush is full of beautiful birds too. I know we won't be the only cat up on the Skyline, and I've actually seen a wild cat up there before, and we'll be sure to keep an eye out from now on when running around the trails up there. I wonder what the next GRE animal edition will be, Eve.
Wow, Eve. There you go. I mean, I'm going to put it out there and say I still think the dolphin GRE is still my favourite.
The dolphin GRE is...
But the dolphin is pretty special. Dolphin is pretty special. And did she say wildcat or did she say mountain lion?
No. Well, I mean, you know, there's a Venn diagram in there somewhere, isn't there? Did we ever talk about the time that And it's the most tempted I've ever been to ditch work, that Dave Jack rescued that pig.
I think we have, but I think you can't tell it enough. So do you want to take it away?
Yeah, I was at work and I got this text from Dave, our friend Dave. He was running in Riverhead and he was up at the trig, and he was like, "I found a pig," and there's lots of wild pig at Riverhead. So we were like, I was like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." And he's like, "No, it's a domesticated pig, like a Porky the pig. What should I do with it?" And I was like, "Dude, I don't know." And he's like, "Can you help me get it out of the forest?" I'm like, "I'm at work." And then I was like, "I really want to go and help rescue this pig." But he ran with this pig from the trig home, and this pig followed him. And it was like 5K on gravel. And if you've ever listened to the Pavement song, is it Stereo? There's that line, "Pigs, they tend to wiggle when they walk," because they don't have a nuchal ligament, so their heads wobble like that. They're not great runners. But he got home and managed to get on the Facebooks and homed this pig. This was a lost pig. For some reason, it found its way right into the middle of Riverhead Forest. And that never made it into a GRE, but it was a good animal rescue.
It was. And when he messaged about that, because I think he chucked in the chat, didn't he?
Like, he did.
I found a pig. My instinct was, dude, that's like a wild piglet, like run, because mum are going to be angry.
Yeah. No.
It wasn't. Yeah. That's right. That's, you know, and he clarified. So, yeah, it was, come on, Eve, that's two. Come on, the rest of you, Eve has provided us with two excellent animal encounter GREs. I'm sure there are more out there. In fact, we've had a couple over the years. Send them in to us. Send any kind of greatest run ever, really. They don't have to be animal encounters, as you know. Send them in to us. Have a read on the website. Get inspired. Send them in to us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Right, on with our chat with Ali Pottinger. And we kind of jump straight into this chat, so why don't we just do that?
There's actually so much good stuff going on and great things that we do and that race directors and all coaches and lots of people all across Australasia are currently doing that is excellent in the space of women in trail running. And why not celebrate it? Why not highlight it and celebrate it and talk about where we want to go?
Ali, this is your idea. So why don't you run us down what we're doing here?
I don't actually remember what I said to you guys, but basically, like, let's have a chat about the kind of state of play in Australasian trail running when it comes to women's trail running and what we're doing to support and encourage that, and kind of what the gold standard would be, like where we want to head to see female participation numbers increase and to see equity for female trail runners. So that's kind of hopefully the goal for today.
That is a good goal.
For every day.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, like you pointed out, to kind of celebrate some of the good things that are happening.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot going on. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the good, the bad, or the ugly?
Well, I wanted to start with talking about the difference between equality and equity, because I think there's still a bit of an misunderstanding out there about what equity is and what equality is. So I thought to start off with, and I'm sure you guys will have excellent takes on this as well, but to start off with, there's a great diagram out there which is kind of comparing equality and equity. So equality is when everyone gets a medium-sized bike, right? And equity is when everyone gets the bike that meets their needs. So Kerry would get an adaptive bike. I'm short, so I'd probably get an extra small bike. My tall friend Robbie, he'd get an extra large bike. And Sebastian, he's a toddler, right? So he'd get a little toddler bike. Equality means being treated the same way. So if we kind of like, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got. So we want to see female participation in trail running and ultra running increasing, women being encouraged. So we've got to kind of look at things a bit differently, kind of work out where we're at and what we can do to change that, to improve things for females in trails. So equity means that everyone is provided with what they need to succeed. So it recognises diverse starting points and the unique needs that people have. When we ask for equality, it's for equal podiums and awards, things like that. So, you know, men and women are receiving the same recognition. So if there's prize money going up, it's, you know, winner for the female race gets $1,000, the winner for the male race gets $1,000. So that's kind of that. I think sometimes people get a little bit confused. So I know Kelly Emerson said, "Oh, I'm sitting on the Pro Trail Runner Association for Equality," and I went, "Oh no, I understand what that means now." So it can be a little bit confusing. And then, kind of why that is, why we're kind of talking about treating men and women differently, is because physiologically we are different. We perform differently. So the physiology is that men beat women over pretty much any distance. The only sport where this is different is open water swimming, and it's kind of about 12 kilometres where women start to outperform men, as well as sports like equestrian and shooting. So there's almost always a 10 to 13% difference between men and women's performances, whether it's 100 metres or 100 miles. So when you see a result where someone like Ruth Croft or Courtney Dalwater smashes a men's field as well, it's a bit of an outlier. It shows that she's kind of outperformed the men's field by more than that margin, so by more than 10 to 13%, which is always amazing to see, right? Like you just go, man, what a weapon. I can't believe a woman won outright. But it isn't kind of supported by the data. So in an equivalent quality field, the men will beat Courtney or Ruth by 10 to 13%. So that's kind of what I thought we'd start this conversation with, is the difference between equity and equality, and kind of, yeah, where we want to head from there.
Matt, have you seen that diagram, I think, that you referred to, Ellie, the one with the ladder and the fence?
Bro, I work in healthcare.
Yeah.
This is every day. This is, and not to take it too, you know, sort of, well, it is. It's the gestalt of where we are, socio-political stuff, and you can't, you know, equity versus equality is very front of mind for Aotearoa at the moment, because there's a bunch of people saying, hey, we should all be the same. And there's, you know, what we know from data, what we know from research is actually we should have a degree of equality so different people get their needs met differently. And it's quite a sticky situation, isn't it? Because then you get people, and I guess some from very good faith perspective, going, well why should we be why should then, if we're all equal, why should you be treated differently from me? What, and that's quite sticky, isn't it? Well, it's hard, isn't it? And this is the thing too, like we're painfully aware that we're two middle-aged white dudes, and you've said, hey, I want to come on your podcast and talk about women and trail running. So
But it is important to talk about these things, because we are lucky that there are so many across Australasia, many men that support women with trying to encourage them in trail running and ultra running. And you guys are like definitely at the forefront of that. So, yeah, I think it's great to come on. And we need that as well, because currently we're in quite a male-dominated industry. You know, like I'm a bit of an outlier when it comes to being a female comment on the female commentary team. Like there's I can't even think of other people. I was stoked to see actually a photo of the Motutapu finish line yesterday, and I saw a female holding a microphone. I was like, yay, because it's so rare. And same when it comes to, I mean, we're actually pretty good, to be honest. There are female race directors, there's female medics, there's all sorts of things. So but often it is actually male race directors, or it is male commentary teams, or but at least being aware of it, you guys can do things to help support equity for women and hopefully grow trail running and ultra running numbers.
Do you think, Eugene, that's because, and I wonder, and I've had so many conversations with my friends out running regarding this, do you wonder if that's because we've both grown up and worked for all our lives in professions that are, I know in my case, you know, completely dominated by women? And so it's very similar in journalism, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's true. So it does. Yeah, it does flow through into your worldview in other areas as well. Absolutely, but that's not universal. And there's still, you know, I think within trail running there is, I think it's a great community. However, there can be a tendency to be sort of, you know, the bro culture, the kind of, you know, I'm going to say the beards.
he says with one on, that's fine.
Exactly. And the craft beers and all that sort of, you know, at which, you know, of course women enjoy craft beer as well. But, you know, that kind of blokey sort of feel to it can dominate. So, it's how do, you know, how do we all have a part? Let's, you know, can we keep that, but also welcome in people who aren't perhaps, you know, want to be part of that as well. And I think, yeah, it's that point you raised about women beating men and how we all get all super pumped about, you know, when Ruth Croft won Tarawera outright, for instance. And it's kind of good that we should celebrate that, but it's also acknowledging too that we can't be relaxed and go, okay, we've won now, can we? And, you know, well, you know, Ruth's won outright. It's all good now. That is exceptional. So how do we, but I always, one thing perhaps while we're on this conversation, while we're on this point though, is how do we, what's the appropriate way to kind of acknowledge how great that is, or when you have women dominating in the top 10, for instance, overall, but still, you know, but treated appropriately? Is it?
Yeah, I know what you mean, because ultimately there are two separate races happening on the same day. And sometimes I think, oh, would it be better if we actually started at different times? So it just completely made it clear that it is two separate races happening at the same day. But then at the same time, like, I love running with guys, and you know, I understand too, from kind of an organization point of view, how it would be, it could, depending on the course, it could be a bit of a cluster. So I can understand the complexities of that decision. So, but I think, you know, when it comes to that, kind of recognizing what an incredible athlete they are, but always kind of like, you know, she's won the female race, but it shows what a strong performance that she's had when she's, you know, fourth overall or something like that. But, yeah, it's a difficult one.
I think so much of this stuff, and we get into this, it's not explicit, it's implicit. You know, it's the thing that what you're talking about is this, we have to be so explicit about it. And harking back to the point I made at the first, you know, the reason that people go, why can't we just all be equal? Because it completely ignores the imbalance of power. And there's a massive power imbalance. And, and I think if you kind of, if you try and deny that on any level, I think you're deluded, quite frankly, because, and that's not to say, you know, as a dude, I'm like, you know, I don't have a hair shirt on or anything, you know, I'm not going to go and rub ash on my face and ring the shame bell. But I'm also, it'd be like if someone gave you a winning lotto ticket, I'm going to be grateful for that fact as well. You know, not sort of the sense of that power imbalance, and looking at if there's another seat at the table, it doesn't mean that your seat at the table's suddenly smaller. It's not a zero-sum game. Or I guess for some people it is, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. What was your experience coming into trail running?
My experience, to be honest, I think I have always played sports, so I've always run. So that wasn't really a barrier. And I actually went, so I used to play cricket quite competitively, and I went trail running just sometimes, you know, from Marsden, so Tararua Forest Park, which is absolutely beautiful. I have fond memories of being about 16 running around the trails there. And the, you know, the sun filtering through the trees and just thinking, this is pretty cool. And then I kind of parked it for a while. I did a bit of hiking when I was traveling, but always running kind of alongside the Thames when I lived in London. Got back home and I went through a divorce at 31, and I kind of hit the trails, kind of got hiking and got running, and that was a really good kind of cathartic like process for me, getting out on the trails, spending time in nature, doing a bit of grieving and doing a bit of kind of working out what was a priority in life. And yeah, just kind of got more and more into trail running and enjoyed it. And then yeah, started doing some events, met Kerry, and then things just kind of got more crazy from there, to be honest.
With that background in cricket, yeah. Another, you know, male-dominated yeah. sport that is becoming more and more, I was going to say accepting, but that's not the right word, you know, involved, you know, more and more women are becoming involved in cricket.
Yeah.
Do you see lessons or pitfalls in what cricket has done, or is, you know, maybe your own experience versus trail running?
I think we are lucky in trail running because it's a relatively, I want to call it a young sport in New Zealand, but it doesn't, we shape the culture of trail running, we like all of us collectively, and there's not this kind of, like compared to cricket, which is a really kind of old traditional sport with kind of strict rules and kind of, you know, that approach, I think it would be harder to change. Whereas I think with trail running, we are pretty open-minded and still kind of paving the way with where we want it to head. So that's where we're really lucky, is that we can kind of make some pretty big changes in a relatively short space of time, hopefully.
I did a bit of a call out before this chat.
Yes.
To the squaddies.
Yeah.
And you got some interesting feedback. Do you want to run us through some of the good and the bad of what, you know, people are experiencing out there?
So I put it out to we have an Australian group and New Zealand group. So I put it out to all of them to kind of say, like, right, you know, like I want to have a think about what female trail and ultra runners want and what we see the gold standard as being with events. Like, because I know that, you know, in New Zealand, we have the kind of the highest numbers of female ultra participation in the UTMB World Series. So, and it's massive. I'm sure they look to us and be like, man, what are those girls doing down there? what's in the water sort of thing. So I thought kind of like, let's look at what people want, and let's also celebrate what good stuff is happening as a community across Australia and New Zealand, because there is a lot. So I thought maybe I'll talk to kind of what is happening at races, and that'll kind of give us a bit of feed forward into what women want and what would actually hopefully increase female participation numbers in trail and ultra running. So race-wise, Blue Lake 24 Hour have two women on the organising committee, Felicity and Sarah. They, you know, there's your own tent spaces for gear changes, or it could be feeding a baby or breastfeeding. There's a safe space for encouraging women to push boundaries and to run at night. There's no cost for race entry either. Cost of entry can be a barrier for women. Ultra Trail Australia, so historically, so quietly behind the scenes, you know, people have been trying to change things for many years. So in 2016, I think it was, we said, actually, coming from an equity perspective, Ultra Trail Australia had a belt buckle recognition for finishers. So people will strive for a sub-14-hour belt buckle. And actually, we kind of did the numbers, and it was about the top 10%, top 25% of men were achieving that, and the top 10% of women were. So we're going, how about changing times, like to make it a more equitable kind of outcome? And I can't remember what year it was, maybe 2 years ago, they announced that they changed it. So now it's sub-14 for men for the silver belt buckle, sub-16 for females. And then the bronze buckle is male between 14 and 20 hours, female between 16 and 22 hours. So that's it's a pretty big step to take too, when you've got a historical kind of thing. It's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to make some people happy. But I think it's a really good step in the right direction to kind of recognise that that's an equitable performance from a female to a male. Topo Ultra, so another thing that's quite important for women is having women-specific apparel for sale. So Topo Ultra do that. Julianne's a female race director, and I know Renee Takua is heavily involved in Total Sport Race Organisation as well. They both have a lot of experience. So it's really cool to see female race directors on organising teams. Sydney's Backyard Ultra, they have a toilet block at the start and finish with 8 female toilets, not portaloos, which is pretty appealing, and shower facilities. There's also feminine hygiene products available in the bathroom. There's equal prize money for both male and female, last person standing. So there's been a bit of a gripe kind of with last person standing events, because going back to that difference in physiology, they aren't really an equitable race. So there's a bit of work to be done in that space, but I really appreciate what the team are doing in Sydney Backyard, kind of providing great opportunity, well, what actually should be a normal thing,
yeah,
for females in trail and ultra running. I was told by some of the athletes at Old Ghost that race director Phil Rossiter acknowledged lots of the challenges that women face in his prize giving. So he talked about, people giving birth and having to kind of come back into running after that, and also acknowledged the challenges that people face through menopause and perimenopause, and talked about it openly to a room full of men and women, which is pretty awesome.
Mm. On the coast as well.
I know, on like the west coast. Progressive west coast.
Go west coast. Yeah, and he deliberately. What's the he? Because there was the point in the race, and you'll have to forgive me.
Yeah.
The point in the race where there's a prize for getting to a certain. Sorry, banged my mic. Getting to a certain point, and you'd think it would be called King of the Mountain, but he was like, nah, we're not going to call it King of the Mountain. But I can't remember what he called it. It's got a sort of a gender-neutral term.
Okay.
And he was delighted when, you know, 1 year it was Ruth Croft, yeah, who won that.
Thinking of that, that's actually something I haven't even put down, but Coastal High 50, they do that. They have a king and queen. It's the Sunto. It was always been sponsored by Sunto,
right,
for King and Queen of the Mountain. So I believe they used to get a watch for the fastest person through the steeper section. So, well,
yeah,
fastest male and fastest female. So there we go. A cool kind of equality approach to prizes there. Yeah.
And just language as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally, because it matters.
Mm. Absolutely.
I thought too, like going back to Phil, I thought that was really cool because, you know, personally I've found out the toll that pregnancy and giving birth takes on a body, and I think it's, important to acknowledge getting back to running in a healthy way, and that it's a real challenge, because it is. You think, you know, without sounding too gruesome, basically I, you know, had an almost 4 kilo body pass through my being and have to be somewhat cut out, and you think about that, that's huge. Like, we kind of,
yeah,
I guess undersell giving birth or how much of a toll it takes on a body, and to get back running does take a lot of work. So I think it's pretty cool when people acknowledge it. ACC now recognize birthing injuries and do subsidized female kind of pelvic health follow-ups, which is great. So that's pretty neat.
Mm.
Carrying on with the list of amazing things that are happening in running across Australasia. So GSCR and Victoria have done a lot to encourage female runners, both on course. So they've got feminine hygiene products. They promote women in their social media, and they have specific merchandise. They've got a co-race director who's a woman, and I believe GPT has also made a start in that direction. Summer Hills Skedaddle, run by good old Wes. So again, it's a free looped event, so female organisers, and it's a community family friendly event, which is really cool. So those sort of things help get women on the trails and running a longer way than they might kind of anticipated. Surf Coast Century. So one really cool thing that happens there is they do a lot of course familiarization runs. So they take big group runs in the build up to that event. And that's quite a confidence boost for women, knowing that they can cover a course, knowing what's up ahead and going, okay, I just have to kind of piece it all together on race day. Like, I know where the toilets are. I know what kind of shelter there might be or where the aid stations will be. So it really helps kind of reaffirm that they're going to do the right thing. They have trail series events too, which are great feeders for that race. So it kind of makes them think, oh, okay, you know, like I can do the next thing. And they've got that familiarity with an event company that they trust. So that's really cool. They do have awards that are time-based, but these could look to be adjusted to create a more equitable outcome for females. So currently you get a, and it's really cool, you get a big stein if you run under 12 hours and you get a smaller stein if you run under 16. But perhaps they could go, well, you know, sub 13 for women. And I don't know, they'd have to do the look at the numbers. They've got a lot of historical data for sure. So they could look at the numbers and go, okay, you know, sub 12 is the top 10% of men, or top 20% of men, and then sub 13 would be the top 20% of women or whatever it is to make it fair. So that's something that they could think about. In Queensland, so the Trail Co put on a lot of races. They've got the Guzzler, which they're probably most famous for. They're launching a female-only race series in southeast Queensland called Run Her. And they've got a lot of, on their website, a lot of rationale for that, which, because I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this, but actually I'm in the scene. Like, there aren't those kind of barriers for me. Well, there are barriers, but it's kind of perhaps something that will make a difference more at that kind of entry level, making females feel like they have the confidence to get out on the trails. There's not going to be, I don't know, you know, like, so have a look at their website because it's pretty awesome. Mm.
Just on female only races. Yeah. So the one and only Catherine Switzer, you know,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the queen, she is involved with the launch of a women only marathon in the US.
Okay.
That's going to come up later in the year. And we were catching up with them and she was just saying the response has been absolutely overwhelming from elites as well. Cool. So people who are familiar with racing, but like, you know, just women going, yeah, we want to get amongst it and go, you know, elbow to elbow with our competitor, you know, because that's the thing. If you're racing in with a bunch of men,
yeah,
maybe you don't get that same opportunity to go head to head with, you know, other people that you're actually racing against. Yeah. And so, yeah, they've had a massive response from the elites, but also, yeah, importantly, those people who perhaps aren't, you know, haven't felt confident to enter other races. So, yeah, go them. So, yeah, absolutely, just toe-top on what you're saying.
I think, too, there's the elephant in the room. Again, it relates back to a healthcare response. We talk about trauma-informed care. Right. And we recognize that people, for whatever reason, have, you know, some people prefer or feel safest if they are nursed by someone of the same gender. And I know a lot of women will prefer to be nursed by women, not men. And that's from a place of safety. And I think it, you know, if we reflect on running in the outdoor space, you know, you talk about that whole thing around women are constantly being told, got to take your phone, you've got to stay in areas, you've got to do all this. So there's this list of requirements that, say, if Rebecca's going for a run in the forest, there's a list of requirements, either conscious or unconscious, that she has that I don't, right? And it's not – and case in point, that poor young woman on that campus in America who was doing everything right, she took her phone, she told people where she was going, she was running on campus, and she got killed. But I think that female space is, it's an opportunity actually for people to come together and just be comfortable. And it's not, again, this will be, I hope it is. I hope it's challenging for some dudes listening who say, oh, why is that to be? And I'm a good dude. And it's, and yeah, maybe you are, bro. And I am too. And Eugene is too. And Kerry is too. But, and there's a lot of people who aren't cool. And there's a lot of people who've inflicted harm. And so actually having that headspace to go, I might think I'm being really cool and friendly, but my very presence can be triggering for people. And not little t triggering either. We're not talking about that kind of, And I don't want to denigrate the you know, I don't want to be like an old dude and say, oh, the generation today, but like a big T trauma. Yeah, it's something that's totally, it's actually really trauma informed, and it's a really safe place and space to get into.
And I think I'm
here for it.
Safety on the trails is massive for women, especially like at the moment. There's a lady, Samantha Murphy, who went out for a run and she hasn't come back, and they don't know what's happened to her. And you see it posted all through the Facebook groups, like, and it does make you think, like, oh crap, am I safe? Like when I go out for a run, could that happen to me? I've got, you know, loved ones that depend on me or that I want to be here for. Can my sport get me into a bit of strife? And it shown time and time again that women unfortunately do have things happen out for a run, you know, around the block or on the trails. So I can totally appreciate it. And like I get messages from people going, oh Ella, you know, like how do you feel about running in the forest at night? Always I kind of say, actually, and people used to say to me all the time, because I used to do a lot of going into the Tararua Ranges and staying in huts overnight and kind of doing a lot of backcountry stuff by myself. And people would be like, oh, don't you feel unsafe? And I was like, nah, honestly, I feel more unsafe outside the pub at 3 a.m. than I do in the back of beyond in the ranges. But when it comes to trail running, I feel most unsafe when I'm close to town. So I said to Lyndall the other day, I was talking to her, and I said, on the UTA course, I was course marking or course clearing near Conservation Hut, and the trail backs onto all these houses, and it was at night, and I was just really creeped out. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, like I can't wait for this to finish. So even as an experienced runner, I still have moments where I feel unsafe, but it's that kind of thing where I think some weirdo can kind of take advantage of this. But then I don't feel scared 10Ks from town. It's just that kind of, I don't know. Yeah, so that's personally how I feel about that. Yeah.
Well, it's that opportunistic nature, isn't it? And it's that thing.
That's right.
It's the opportunistic. I think mm-hmm. about, you know, I think about Lola now going running in the forest, yeah. And yeah. I have to really manage myself not to put some of my fear onto her as a young woman. Now I know that, you know, 99.999 recurring, things are going to be fine. However, it's that realization that, you know, because I've met people out in the forest and gone, huh? Do you know what I mean? Like, right, okay, yeah. I'm gonna, you know, flick my headphone onto mute now and just kind of make sure that. But it's just that recognition. It's that recognition, isn't it? And actually, that power. It comes back to that power space. It's like, hey, me. Mm-hmm. Us saying we want our own space doesn't mean that we're saying that you can't have your space too. And what's more, you know, even bloody Joe Rogan said, you know, he had some men's rights dude on who was going on about it. And even Joe Rogan said, I think we've still got all of them, dude. Like, I think we've still, I've looked at the rights that we have and I think we're good, you know. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how
even Joe Rogan. There you go. He made it into this podcast. There you go. Hey, you got
we've
got
to give him a leg up.
Race is doing well?
Yes, yeah. So right. One that looks absolutely phenomenal is Kunyani Mountain Run in Tasmania. So the qualification times for the ultra are different for men and women. There's a pregnancy deferral policy for men and women. Menstrual products are at aid stations. There's a family room for breastfeeding. There's change tables in a quiet space. There's a bush play drop-off service for families with two parents running or interstate travellers or single parents. So that's what been one thing that I've suggested to different races, is that it would be amazing to have a race crash. Like, I'm in a position where I either have to fly someone or get someone to travel with me to look after my child or not do it. So there's definitely and I helped organise a couple of ladies coming over from Australia were running at Tararua, and they were like, I'm coming from Australia, like, who's going to look after my child? And I linked them up with some babysitters, which was great, because, and they're like, oh thanks. And I was like, nah man, like, this is how it should be. Like, we should have people that are trusted to look after our children so we can engage with our sport, because we're going to be, you know, everyone's going to be better for it. We'll be better parents and we'll have children that see parents striving towards things and living hopefully fit and healthy lives and pushing boundaries and kicking goals. Yeah.
Totally.
The Possum Night Run. So I've given this one a shout out because it's a great family friendly trail run, and it gives people a positive and inclusive experience of nighttime trail running. Often female runners can be really nervous about running at night, and having events that break down this barrier in a supportive family environment is just brilliant. And it's just fun as well. It's bright, it's colourful. It's, you know, it's a space where it doesn't matter what time you do it, it matters how bright you dress up. So it's a really cool one. In Australia, Max Adventure, they do a really great job of presenting their race results in two separate lists. So there's two races happening at the same time, and their social media and marketing is really great. They present, you know, genders and different age groups of those genders, which is how it should be. We should all be, you know, visibility is important, and we should all see ourselves in the images that are being used by races to market their races. Victory events. So Jace really he's always got, you know, invested in doing his best by women. And when Ring of Fire was running, they had male and female specific recognition for the Round the Mountain. So there was different time goals for those medals. Crazy K, so she's a female race director. It's a backyard event, and they have a chicks zone for this year's event, with things like a female change area. Because let's face it, right, you guys probably have never put on a sports bra, but basically it's like a straight jacket trying to get out of it. Like, you've got to be a bit of a magician to get out of a sports bra. So it's ideally having female change areas. It's amazing because we don't really want to be flashing our tatas to everybody, but it's nice to be able to get changed. And often people will be trying to do this in a portaloo, and nobody wants to spend more time in a portaloo than they need to.
Nobody should have to do that.
Nah. And I actually want to give a shout out as well. It's not a race, but Photos for Sale. So they do a really great, they take beautiful pictures of women. They have a number of female photographers, and again, coming back to visibility, it's really important to see, you know, that represented. Alan has talked with me before about his kind of pro tips for taking great pictures of women, and he engages with them. So he gives them a bit of a heads up, kind of like, I'm here, you know, like kind of smile, or he'll say something that kind of makes you go, oh yeah, cool. And then he says photograph them on the app, because you know what, as soon as, like, every single woman, I haven't seen one that is probably the other way around, when you land, you see the cellulite, you see the sags, you see, you know, it's not pretty. It doesn't flatter you when you're being photographed, like, landing when you're running. So he gets them on the lift, and that's when you look your most stunning. And often females, you know, we are hypercritical about how we look whilst we're exercising, because we're told that we should be beautiful, and, you know, we shouldn't sweat, and we shouldn't be red-faced, and we shouldn't have cellulite, and, you know, the list goes on, right? So it's pretty cool having photographers that are invested in taking a good photo of you. And that model was set up for that, right? Like, pay what you want, because I can tell you now, like, there's so many races where I'm not buying those photos.
Can I just give a shout out to the Riverhead Rampage and everything that you said? I'm just going to get in here.
Yeah.
Co-race direct with my beautiful wife, Rebecca, who's just been out mapping and running the 5 and the 10K courses that she does every year. And Photos for Sale, pay what you want. Photos was introduced at Riverhead Rampage. We were the first race in the country. They came along. They said, look, we want to try something new. Can we come and try it at your race? I was like, hell yeah, you can. And, you know, Dan and Sam Sauer, you know, Samantha Sauer, yes. Amazing. And, of course, Alan is just a delicious human being. But, yeah, it's so lovely to think that's had such a ripple effect, you know, like Alan coming and saying, hey, I just want to try this, and then it's gone on to such cool things.
Totally. I know, like, these are the photos that people cherish, right? They're like our treasured memories, and to have beautiful photos is such a, a cool thing to accompany that.
Totally.
Last kind of race shout out, 6 foot track marathon. So again, it's a really historical race. They've never really had great female participation numbers because there is a tight cutoff limit at 7 hours. And this year they decided that the lottery will be split into two separate draws with 50% of the available spots dedicated to female lottery entrants. So it'll give female entrants a higher chance of success in securing a much sought after race entry and allow more females to progress towards 5 finishes, which will increase the 6 foot track marathon long-term female participation rate. So it's pretty cool seeing the committee taking steps to improve things for female trail and ultra runners. One more kind of thing that I thought I'll talk to, because I was a little bit disappointed today. I did an event, and so Reese Johnston and his daughter Kenzie loves trail running. She goes to park runs. She's up to 30 park runs now. Like, she really doesn't want to miss it, and she just loves it. So she entered the 10K today with Reese, and she was like really wanting to podium her age group. So she was racing super hard. She ran 1 hour and 3 minutes for the 10K, which is pretty slick. Faster than one of my laps anyway. And when she finished, she was like waiting for prize giving, and then she realized that the age category was 0 to 39 years of age. So she was just up racing against the large majority of the adults on course. So having age categories that, you know, show where you're at compared to other people of a similar age is actually important to people. And it's a really easy thing to do, right? Like, it's pretty straightforward. So that's something that, you know, racers can do to engage, because she's our future generation of trail runners, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's kind of the list of all the awesome stuff that's happening that I can think of. And I know there's more, like Matt talked about Riverhead Rampage. Sorry, Matt, I didn't even mention that. But you got it.
He's got it covered. On, you know, young women and, mm-hmm. and girls entering trail running, is there enough information available, or where would you suggest that they can get information? Because a lot of it is kind of, you know, male skewed. And thinking, you know, coaching, mm-hmm. nutrition, you know, running to your menstrual cycle, all those sorts of things, or training to your menstrual, you know, all those sorts of things that haven't traditionally been part of the kind of body of information that's available when you start out trail running. What can we do better? What information sources would you suggest? And are there good coaching options available?
There's a lot of female coaches out there now, which is cool. Like, I reckon when I first started 9 years ago, there wasn't that many out there. And I feel like it's really kind of exploded over the last few years. I mean, but like the likes of RMA, so Nicole Bunyan's been, she created that network, I think it was about 10 years ago. So there are good Facebook groups and that sort of thing. There's different coaching options out there. But I guess it's probably like thinking about it now, Eugene, it probably is still an area where there's a lot of work to be done. Like, for me, I was really nervous as a teenager about going out anywhere, like thinking, oh, what if I get my period? Like, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. And it's not that kind of stuff wasn't really talked about then. Back in my day, but hopefully now, like, yeah, we are definitely starting to talk about it. It's probably finding a good platform or creating a good platform for that. But there are things that, you know, like what women and men that support women would like to see kind of as a gold standard to encourage women and, you know, young girls or young women into trail running is like, There's heaps that we can do. So, like, having female event staff, medics, photographers, having hygiene products at aid stations, clean toilets, female changing areas or gazebos, events that let kids go down the finishing line. Security and privacy can be a big concern. This was actually quite an interesting one for me that I hadn't thought of. So for somebody said, you know, I love that for Tarawera, only you can access your own photos. So not all events have that. So depending on which photographer's used, if somebody's had issues with stalkers or that sort of stuff, then they could still access your photos. And they said, you know, like another important thing is the ability to opt out of athlete lists and finish the stats. So, which is actually pretty crucial if you've had a stalker or probably experienced, I don't know, domestic violence or that sort of thing. That would be quite reassuring for people. So that's something that race directors can think about. And photography companies, having pushchair friendly events. Events with a range of distance options create pathways for coming years at events that they're confident with and have had positive experiences at. Equal prize money and salaries for female athletes. Free race deferrals or generous refund policy for pregnancy. And event timing system. So presenting, please present the two different races that are happening at the same time. Andy Dubois, who's a well-known coach in Australia, he's been an incredible advocate for women, especially in this space. I'm trying to think. Oh, one thing that I thought I wanted to dive into that I thought was really cool and really interesting is that, Reece said today, there were so many women on the Tarawera 21K start line. I was like, yeah, that's how it works. All the shorter distances are heavily skewed towards women. You do a half marathon, there'll be probably 60 to 70% female. And then as the distances increase, the percentages decrease. But Tarawera, it's growing. So that's growing the number of women running longer distances. So from our historical data from 2018, the first year of the miler, the numbers of women attempting Tarawera 100 miler have increased massively. So in 2018, there was only 25 females on the start line, and they were 20% of the start line, and they were 23% of finishers, which is pretty interesting. 2019, they didn't have the start numbers, but the women were 21% of finishers. 2020, there were 66 starters and 25% of the start line and 28% of finishers. 2021, there was 54 starters, which I thought was actually quite interesting, kind of like post-COVID, there was a drop in numbers of women on the 100-mile start, which I thought was, and we can make all sorts of assumptions about that, but I thought that was really interesting that dropped that year. So they were 28% of start line and 31% of finishers. In 2023, we had 114 starters of the 100-miler. They were 26% of the start line and 26% of finishers. But this year, 2024, 135 women started the 100-mile race, and they were 30% of the start line. They were 28% of finishers, which is interesting that, you know, the numbers are increasing, women taking on that 100-mile distance, and the female DNF rate is often better than the men's DNF rate. So when we looked at that, we were like, yeah, that's wicked, you know, like that's pretty, still not, we would like it to be. It'd be great to see, you know, 50-50, but it's heading in the right direction.
It's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to recap, so that's 20% on the start line 2019 and 30% year, 2024. Yep. That's fantastic.
Pretty cool, eh? 10% increase over 6 years.
Obviously more to do, but it's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And of course, at Tarawera, you hosted Women of Trail Racing, Women of Trail
event, a panel.
Which it's great to do. That it's great that races are doing those sorts of things too.
Yeah, 100%. So things that we are currently doing, I'm going to say we, but this is kind of, you know, a lot of races across Australasia, or personally us three, because we get to do commentary. Well, and four with Kerry, we get to do commentary together a lot. So interview the top three runners from each race. So that's, you know, we make sure that we interview top three female runners. We ask for both sexes to be across the start line for visibility. And I looked at a photo from a grassroots event the other day, and it was just like all these kind of greyhound looking men, and I could spot one female face. And I was like, guys, you know, so we try really hard. And I actually messaged a couple of the ladies that I know that podium that race, and I was like, where were you? You have every right to be there. You won that race. You podium that race. You've won it before. Why are you not up there? And they're like, oh, I just kind of like to stand back. I'm like, it's actually important for women to see women on a start line. Like, I would look, I said, I look at that picture and I think, I don't belong there. That's if I was thinking about entering a race, that's not one that's going to make me feel comfortable entering. So we do make a point of asking for female runners to be on the start line because they're going to be in the top 10.
Well, you didn't quite put it like that at the 50K.
No, I didn't.
We saw you, really.
I said, let's not make it a sausage fest.
I said that at the 21 too, and I saw Joe.
Did you
yeah, yeah, that? Yeah. Because I was, how do you? Well, I know she did. Yeah, of course she did. I think
he wanted it too. He didn't want a sausage fest either.
That's right. No,
but how do you? That's the thing as well. How do you authentically? And sorry to use the A word, but how do you authentically and also not making it seem like really kind of sympathetic? Like, come on, ladies, come up. Like, and I looked at Jake when I said sausage fest into the mic, and there's 1,400 people there. And he just kind of, Jake's the stage, he's the manager of the thing, and he just kind of put his head down. I said, I could explain it another way, bro. We could go, you know, the next step. But that's what you have to call it for, right? Like, yeah, we don't want this to be a dude ranch or a sausage fest.
Yeah.
You know, let's get the sisters in. And that was sort of, when you said sausage fest, or when you use a word, which is just, it's kind of funny, it breaks the ice and people are just like, okay, I'll come up.
Yeah. And I think it's hard, you know, like I think, because when I'm one of the ladies that I messaged was like, oh, this has really got me thinking about why I feel like I don't belong there, why I shouldn't be up the front. And I feel like this is really ingrained in me from childhood. And I was like, yeah, as women, we're told to kind of, you know, sit back, let the guys kind of, you know, take priority. But I was like, you have every right to be there. And if some guy is upset about it, he can easily step around you and run faster than you. So it's almost like we need to kind of say, look, if you think you're going to be in the top 15 of the men's race, and if you're in the top 15 of the women's race, we want to see you guys in the start corral. And hopefully that with the awareness of what it means for women in sport, that it encourages women, it makes them feel included, it recognizes that we're there, then maybe women will feel, you know, they'll be happier to do it if they can see what it will do for the sport.
Do it for others.
Yeah.
Not just yourself. Yeah. Ali, this is a conversation that we could have for many, many, many hours, but we're conscious that we've chewed up a lot of your time already. Yeah. But you, in your notes through to us, put down, you know, we should do a call to action and get people to tell us what they think.
Totally.
And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, love to hear some feedback from people. You know, this goes around the world.
Yeah.
So let's not, you know, we've concentrated obviously on Aotearoa and Australia, but, you know, what's happening globally as well.
Totally. There are actually some amazing initiatives. So there's She Runs in the UK and there's Trail Sisters in the US. Lyndall Maloney is a female running coach in Australia. Her and a team are setting up a website in Australia with some guidelines, and I'm hoping to create one in New Zealand with a team of women. And with the one in Australia and the one that I'm hoping to create here, there's not going to be any kind of business side to it. It's literally just going to be a set of guidelines that we would like to see kind of races adhered to kind of meet this gold standard of encouraging women in trail running. So if you have some suggestions, if you'd like to see certain things to make it, you know, improve and grow the sport, then definitely get in touch.
Hey, thank you so, so much for initiating this conversation and for directing it in the way that you have. And, you know, you obviously, you did a lot of work as well and got a lot of feedback. So thank you so, so much, because, we should be talking about this more.
Well, I appreciate it, because I was like, well, how do we actually put out there what good stuff is happening? Because it is good stuff that we're doing here. Like, it's showing our numbers are strong and we can make them stronger for sure. And it's great that, you know, you guys are open to having a chat about this, because it's probably something that you were like, oh, you know, I want it to happen, but I feel a little bit out of my comfort zone perhaps talking about it. I don't know.
It's not so much comfort zone. It's just, it's like, It's just the place.
Two dudes mansplaining women's running.
That kind of awkwardness of
Everybody's place to talk about it where we'd like to go, because then, you know, like if you see something, you guys can comment on it too. You can be like, oh, so Matt will be like, oh, actually, like, let's think carefully about the images that we use for RivRam.
Look, the I'll say two things. That language is a really important thing. And I think language in terms of trail names, Strava segments, all of that stuff, you know, like, and that's, you know, speaking openly and respectfully, we've had issues with that in Riverhead in the past, like saying, hey, you're giving these directions. We've not met this person before. We don't know this person. We don't know, like, do you know what I mean? So thinking about that, not, you know, thinking about what we're saying, what we're naming things, what we're doing, all that stuff. And also, last time we were at UTA together and I did the elite Q&A and then you did the woman and trail straight afterwards. The first thing I did automatically just went for a run because I was like, oh, I've got free time now. So, and I was running up, I was just got to Golden Stairs at the top and I was coming down and all I could hear across the valley was you guys talk, the four of you just talking, like the woman and trail, because it carried out into the Blue Mountains and it sort of boomed out. And I remember running down, trying to keep my feet going down Golden Stair, and just thinking, how cool is that? That this is both in a literal sense and in a metaphorical sense, that this is just this huge expanse, and all you can hear is these women just talking about what the future state will be and how good it could be. And yeah, that was a really cool little memory.
I didn't know that, and that's pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Took my mind off Golden Stairs, that's for sure.
All right, Ellie, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I always love chatting with you, and I really enjoy also celebrating runners off and back to finish line or start lines and finish lines with you guys, because you do a good job.
Can't wait till May. It's gonna be sick.
Yeah, bring on May. Bring on UTA.
Bloody love chatting to Ellie Pottinger. I mean, you know, she is the third host, jumps in on most of our live shows in terms of when we're at events and really is, you know, her and Andrew really part of the team. Really cool to support, and words of wisdom from
absolutely
the coach.
Yeah, and she had done some, you know, some great research as well leading into that, and put it out, you know, put a call out there asking for examples of good and bad work by races and so on. So it was, thank you so much, Ellie. It was a conversation we needed to have. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm actually just going to put a plug in. We talked about Haletau Riverhead Rampage. It is coming up, 10th edition, April 6th. If you go to lacticturkey.co.nz/Riverhead Rampage to enter. It's a registered not-for-profit. All proceeds go to Riverhead School. There'll be our 10th anniversary. Photos for sale will be there. Food trucks, fun, 42-21, 10 5K races, April 6th at Riverhead. So we'd love to see you all there. The more, the merrier. And
get amongst it.
Yeah, get amongst it.
Well, the courses are being, I've seen some footage on the old socials. They look mint.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's just beautiful out there. And so even, you know, if we get a little bit of rain, it'll stick, because it's bone dry out there. So can't wait. But look, that's us. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Now, don't forget to sign up to the new podcast and newsletter.
Don't forget also to send in your greatest run ever, animal related or not. We love hearing them. People love hearing them. We get so many people saying it's their favorite part of the show. Why don't we just have greatest run ever and get rid of you two turkeys? No, no one's actually said that. But anyway, I'm sure some of you think it. Send them into us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com.
Thanks to our sponsors, Scott Running, Further Faster, Currens, Cielli. And thank you to our Substack subscribers and the DCR Aid Station crew. Stay tuned for our show in 2 weeks when we have another guest, great guest, lined up. And also check out our DCR Aid Station next week.
Hei konei, hei kona. Harihuru tau, iho. Thanks, Rigby.